اللهم لبيك لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير يا ربي لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك وعظيم سلطانك رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين ربي يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتح آمين ثم آمين يا رب العالمين أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته dear seekers of knowledge I hope and pray that you all will be on the best levels of Iman and Taqwa I hope and pray that you will be enjoying all the blessings of Ramadan inshallah wa ta'ala Amin summa Amin and will be spending it productively on the behalf of Durul Quran International Institute The entire team of Journey Through Quran welcome you in June 19th in Journey Through Quran. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmah and blessings, we completed June 18th yesterday. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. What an amazing juz. What was the theme of the juz? Anybody? Be the guiding light for the others, subhanAllah. Be a lighted guide. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us a guided light by using the rushd, the hikmah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Juz 17, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen. We started Juz with the qualities of a muflih, the successful one, the traits of a true believer. Because iman is the first step towards success. As true iman help us to make a roadmap for akhirah. And can you please share what were the qualities of the successful ones Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned? Yes, anyone? They are submissive in their salah. They turn away from love. They pay zakat, guard their chastity, fulfill the obligations of amanat, and their covenants, and they strictly guide their five daily prayers, right? And after adhering these qualities, they were given the glad tidings of what? The inheritors of Jannah. Allahumma ja'alna minhum. Allahu Akbar. Ameen summa ameen. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the creation of al-insan, and all that was needed by him was created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And our action point, that we have to be grateful for the Creator for all the blessings given, inshallah wa ta'ala. We were told to always fear Allah, even when we are doing good. A believer's heart should always be fearful in doing sins, and to keep a check on sins and rethink the strategy for Islah, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned, we were given hearing, sight, and heart. But people didn't choose them for their guidance, and only very few are thankful. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who are always thankful for every single blessing given. Ameen, summa ameen. We were given a very thought-provoking ayahs by saying, أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ? Will you not then understand? أَفَلَا تَذَكَّرُونَ? Will you not then remember? أَفَلَا تَتَّقُونَ? Will you not then fear Allah? SubhanAllah. We have to ponder over this. Are we among those that who do not understand, do not remember, and they do not fear Allah? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala do not make us among those. اللهم لا جعلنا منهم. Then we were reminded to forgive by remembering that we can do wrong too. Forgive others. Just like we can do wrong, the others can do wrong too. So we are not going to put them on the pedestal and then just do a finger pointing. And then at the end of the surah, it ended with a beautiful dua. رَبِّ اغْفِرْ وَارْحَمْ وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الرَّحِمِينَ Ameen. Next surah was Surah An-Nur we did in the juz, subhanAllah. In it, we were given the solution to one of the major problems of the society, zina. We learned the laws. By implementing them, we can protect this epidemic from the society. We learned that how Prophet ﷺ went through many trials in his life. And one was of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anhu's character assassination. SubhanAllah, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made her innocence known through wahi. By this we also learned that Prophet ﷺ did not know any unseen. And he ﷺ had only the knowledge what was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And to even forgive those who accuse you falsely. If you are on the right path, if you are on sidq, inshallah wa ta'ala, stay firm and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make your innocence known, inshallah wa ta'ala. A very, very big lesson. Then almost every juz, we are reminded to be aware of our mortal enemy, shaitan, and not to follow his footsteps. Every juz we are reminded of that, inshallah wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. We were given preventive measures for zina, which included seeking permission before entering anyone's house, segregation for any kind of gathering, make nikah common and easy, and if any reason can't get married, then fast. SubhanAllah. Fast and the fear of taqwa. SubhanAllah. The beautiful introduction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. SubhanAllah. Allah is the light of heavens and earth. Action point. That we have to desire and strive to receive that nur, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ameen, summa ameen. Then we were reminded that we have to develop an attitude of sami'na wa ata'na. Allahu Akbar. And we didn't obey, we are replaceable. We didn't get a glad tiding, oh, you are going to stay there forever. And you what title you got, you will have that title forever. But we are replaceable and should not be in any false assumptions. We will not be in any false assumptions, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we will be, always obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We were also given rules which should be followed within the house. And we should also teach those manners to our children too. From very young age, inshallah wa ta'ala. Then we learned manners of a working place. We were reminded that if we want to be among successful ones, then we should obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Then Surah Al-Furqan, we learned, we did first 20 ayahs, inshallah wa ta'ala, and we will continue in Juz 19. And in these first 20 ayahs, we learned that Quran is the criterion. It differentiates between haq and batil and it warns. It was told that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, He will provide us gardens, meaning paradise. But whoever denies the hour, meaning the day of resurrection, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prepared a flaming fire for them. Allahumma la taj'alna minhum. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who always, always fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and honor His blessings, inshallah wa ta'ala. And one of the blessings is this Quran, subhanAllah, the beautiful kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is giving us the insight, the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, giving us the sense, what we need to do in order for us to lead a successful life. And we are given those laws, the rules, the regulations we should follow. And once we have the knowledge, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will abide by that knowledge, we will follow it, and inshallah wa ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will be included among the successful ones. So many glad tidings are given for the people who are successful. But it's a hard work, yes. But we will strive and work hard, inshallah wa ta'ala, to get that honor, inshallah, to receive that honor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with His rahmah and His mercy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us understand Quran in depth, inshallah wa ta'ala, so we can develop a better understanding, and inshallah wa ta'ala can learn in detail all the commandments, not on the surface area, you know, just not to scratch a surface area, but to learn it in detail, inshallah wa ta'ala. So let's continue our learning quest, and for that we will join Sister Faiza in Atlanta, Georgia, for Juz 19th, inshallah wa ta'ala, and we'll continue with Surah Al-Furqan, Bismillah. A reminder to myself first, that we have to stay focused, we have to take notes, have to absorb the maximum, inshallah wa ta'ala, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the beneficial knowledge. Amin, summa amin. Jazakumullah khairan kathira, bahsan jaza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How's everyone doing? Alhamdulillah. Now, so good to see the people who come. I just want to give you a glad tiding for those who actually come before class time and who come right on time. The one who comes before class time, they are sabiquna sabiqoon. We will learn about them in Surah Al-Waqiyah. Who are they? They are the front runners. They are the forerunners. They're always there the first time. And you know what? Whatever you do in this dunya, that shows in your actions. So if you are eager to learn the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously you're going to come ahead of time. People take the appointments of this dunya so seriously. And when they get there, they are the first one. That means they are serious about it. So this shows. So congratulations to those of you who come before time. And for those of you who do come on time, congratulations for you too. Because in Surah Al-Baqiyah, we learn three groups of people. The one who are sabiquna sabiqoon. And then they are the one who were sabiqun al-awwalun, the first ones. So they come on time and they're also blessed people. And then there's a third category, the one who comes later. Alhamdulillah, let's make dua that Allah SWT will accept all from all of us that we are sabiqun al-sabiqun, inshallah. Today's juz is filled with so many goodnesses, so many lessons, inshallah. And it has to do with our daily life. Yesterday we learned Surah Nur, and Surah Nur was, for some people may find that it is not easy. And today we will learn what is it that can make things easy. The ayah will come in Quran today and the solution. And because of that solution, I chose this theme for today's juz, which is based on how can we actually come to light and how can we really proceed with whatever Allah SWT is saying. Because sometimes when we feel overwhelmed, Shaitan makes us feel like giving up. And the point here is not to give up, because this is what the jihad is, right? So inshallah, before we go into today's juz, let's listen to the recitation of today's ayah and then we'll go from there. Let's make dua for yourself that Allah SWT make it possible for us to grasp everything possible, inshallah. Let's listen to the recitation and try not to talk while listening, inshallah.
وقال الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا لولا أنزل علينا الملائكة أو نرى ربنا لقد استكبروا في أنفسهم وعتوا عتوا كبيرا يوم يرون الملائكة لا بشرى يومئذ للمجرمين ويقولون حجرا محجورا وقدمنا إلى ما عملوا من عمل فجعلناه هباء منثورا أصحاب الجنة يومئذ خير مستقرا وأحسن مقيلا ويوم تشقق السماء بالغمام ونزل الملائكة تنزيلا
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعده أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Juz 19. Juz 19 is a continuation of Surah Al-Furqan, and then we'll go into Surah Shu'ara and then Surah An-Naml. And we have a lot of gems in there, and I'm sure you must be very eager, excited with your notebooks and your pencil in your hand with some highlighters, and let Allah know that, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am here to learn your book. The theme of today's juz is choose friends wisely. You know why this theme is important for us? Because if there is an ayah that will come in Surah Furqan, ayah number 27, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, on a day of judgment, a person who will not make it to Jannah, he will be saying this, Ya waylata, laytani lam attakhiz fulanan khalila. Oh, I wish I had taken with the messenger away. Meaning, I would not have made this friend as my friend, because they are the one who took me to this wrong direction. This is why we need to understand that we need to make friends in such a way that they are beneficial to us. And you know why it is so important? Because you are a picture of your friend. You are a mirror image of the friend. We learn from a hadith that if you take a list of the friends that you have, take 5 or 10 friends from there, and the average of those 5 close friends that you have, if you take an average, that's exactly who you are. Because you as a person have a tendency to take something from one friend, something to another, something from another one, and you are basically the combination of 5 close friends. So if you want to see where do you stand and where you want to move forward, then we need to work on our friendship. Now, this doesn't mean that the friends that you have, you should just jump them and abandon them and move on and try to look for new friends. No, this means that you have to be careful and how much time and what is your priority that you spend time with. There is a little activity I would like to give you. When you go home sometime later tonight, before tomorrow, inshallah, sit down with your phone in your hands where your phone list is there, and you may have all the friends, maybe 30, 40, 60, 10, 20, however many. Go to the list of your friends and think about each name. Start with the first name and the second and the third, and think about it. This first friend, friend A, how does she make me feel? Does she make me feel that I should be a better Muslim, or she makes me feel that I should be prettier looking, or she makes me feel I should lose my weight because I look ugly, or she makes me feel that you are doing just great, there's nothing you need to do anymore, and she makes me feel the other way around. And then go to the second and third, and you'll have pretty good idea what kind of personality you have and where you are heading. Because on the day of judgment, we want to save ourselves from the regrets of the day of judgment, because none of us would like to say, oh, because of my so-and-so friend, I got indulged into this riba thing. And because of my such-and-such friend, because she was working for this company, I got the job there. And because of that, I got so busy that I had no time for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's book. And because of that such-and-such friend, and I got into, subhanAllah, something bad. And you know what? This ayah needs to be shared with our kids also. Because when we send them to school, we don't really prepare them. What kind of friendship do you have? What kind of friends you should make? Some parents are careful and they're saying, oh, make good friends. But majority of the parents overlook this thing. And you know what happened? The mindset, slowly but surely, become changed. Parents don't even find out this thing until it's too late. And when a child already reached age 15, 16, they have a strong mindset, and for them, their parents are nobody. And then they start thinking like their friends. And you know what? If the parents do not have any close relationship, close friendship with their kids, guess what happens? When friends say something, kids believe it. And when they have any problem, instead of coming to their parents, they go to their friends. Because friends are very powerful. Think about yourself. When you and I were teenagers, what was the best thing in our life? our friends. We used to crave to talk to them, and we used to love spending time with them, and everything they do we used to love. And we try to fit in their circle, just to fit in, even though people may not like what they do, but they do it anyway because they like to fit in. And you know what? There is no age limit for this. It doesn't matter what age group you are. Even if you are 30s, 40s, or 50s, or 60s, still you want to impress your friend. It is built in a human nature. This is why we learn choosing friend wisely is very important. And if you go to the next slide, there's a dua that we are taught that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, Allahumma yassilli jaleesan salihan. O Allah, facilitate for me a pious friend. Why do we need to make this dua? Because you are what your friends are. And if you remember that if your friends are not good, then you won't be able to do what you are learning to do, because friends are very powerful. They have too much influence in our lives. So once the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what person can be the best friend? The Prophet ﷺ counseled, he said, he who helps you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and reminds you when you forget him. He was further asked, who is the best among people? He replied, he who, when you look at him, you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the criteria that is given by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to all of us. And in this light, we can really make our friends. Now, if our friends are like it, alhamdulillah. If they're not, then we should be working on them. And then we should prioritize how much time should we spend with them, or how much time should we spend with a friend that can remind me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today, sometimes people find the friend who is always reminding me of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I want to cut off my ties and I don't want to be with them. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, slowly but surely, when people come to Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses their friends. You know why? Because you will find out as you proceed further with this journey of Quran, when you find the love of Allah in your heart, when you want to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your friends are the first one they're going to dislike you if they're not on the same path. First one to accuse you. If you say, you know, for example, just yesterday we learned about Surah An-Nur, and we learned how to dress up when we go out. We should be covering, right? Our body parts should not be showing, and your hair should be covered, and your chest should be covered. And then you decided, you know what? I need to do that. Guess what? When you do this, the first friends are the first one they're going to say, oh, what happened to you? You look old. What's different? And you know, you're being too much. And then slowly but surely, they will try to cut you off. And this is a very normal thing to happen. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces friends which are better for you. So never feel bad if you do follow the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then people make it hard. This is why we need to surround ourselves with the company of good, pious people. If you go to the next slide, there are some more hadith of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We learned in Tirmidhi that keep company of believers only, and let your food be eaten only by the righteous. What does that mean? Obviously, if you invite friends who are not praying and who are into too much of a fashion, when the Maghrib time is going to come and you say, let's do the Jama'ah, how do you think they're going to feel? They're going to feel embarrassed because they may be wearing sleeveless or something. Maybe they don't even have the dupatta, the hijab or something. And then you say, well, let's pray. They're going to feel uncomfortable, right? So make sure that we can all try our best that we have company of righteous people around us. And then another hadith in Bukhari, that if you wish to mention the faults of your friends, mention your own faults first. Meaning, don't point fingers to your friends, oh, you are doing this, this is haram, this is wrong, because this is way they're going to turn even further away. So the best thing you can you and I can do with our friends list is that, first of all, figure out what needs to be done. First of all, figure out what is your priority. Now that you're loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now that you want to love Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam more than anybody else, then you should have a strategy in your life, don't you think? And the strategy should be, how do you handle your friends? How much time do you spend with certain kind of friends? And what should be your intention when you spend time with them? And how much time should you spend in a company of friends who can really uplift you and move you towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And never point fingers, don't cut the ties, but limit your time and interaction. And when you do interact, try to bring them, not by pointing fingers, but by telling them, how are you feeling about Allah's love? How are you happy about Allah's love in your life? So don't accuse them. And the true friend is only he who regards his friends in three situations. Meaning, we learn here that the three types, the friends that are true friends, the true genuine friends, are the one when you are going through some hardship, they stay with you. And then when you are not there, they're still your friends. And upon somebody's death and upon your death, they are the one who are making sincere dua for you. So based on these criteria, we can check and really produce our friends in such a way that when you go from this world, we have people who would be saying and making true dua for ourselves, inshallah. And if you go to the next slide, you will see the connection between Juz 18 and Juz 19 themes. Why is it so important? Because in the Juz 18, we learn that be a guiding light, right? So if you and I want to be a guiding light, how can things become easy? Obviously, if your friends are not with you on the same page, they're not going to like it. So choose friends wisely. It is only possible to be guiding light if you are surrounded by like-minded people. So if you start loving Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more in your life because of this journey of Quran, then you should surround yourself with like-minded people. How can you do that? You can invite them to the same thing that is that you are liking, right? So instead of saying you should do this and you should not do that, connect them the same way you are connected with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then both of you come together and both of you have a same goal. At the end of the day, there is no friction. You are happy, they are happy. And the friend who can help you, assist you in achieving your goal. This is why surround yourself with a good company, good friend. And this is why we say this dua, Allahumma yassirli jaleesan salihan. Let's say it right now with the bottom of our heart that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does give us righteous friends. Allahumma yassirli jaleesan salihan. And also we learn many hadith, how should we look for on our friends. Basically, good friends are who prioritize their relationship with Allah and help us on the right path. It is easier to pray and do everyday things when your friends are also on the same page. Like for example, if you're planning to go to a movie, right? If your friends are planning to go to a movie and then they're saying, I'm not really saying that you should go and do that. I'm just saying when a group of friends are going, and they're going right at the Maghrib time, and they know that the Maghrib time will come in between, and they will miss the Salah. So how should you go and should you not go? This is why it is so important to seek friendship that thinks like you, and they have a same goal as you, and that is destination Jannah, right? So it is extremely important. And also your friend should be reminding you. Now, what are some of the characteristics you should look for when you're making friends? The good characteristics of good friendship is they leave each other's company with a higher level of faith. I want you to write these things down. Based on this criteria, we can look and make friends. Number two, they always meet each other or start talk with Islamic greeting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. You know why? Because today, even in Muslim culture, they say, hey. And you know, when they type emails, it starts with hey. Even I have noticed in their religious institutions, they say, hey, salam. This is the way Prophet ﷺ has taught us? No. It's not hey, salam, or only salam. No. It is salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. So always start with a proper greeting. And number three, they exchange useful and mature ideas and thoughts. meaning they don't just talk useless gossip. They did this and that, that, and did you heard about their daughter? Did you heard about that husband? Did you watch this new TV serial? Or did you watch this new book or new social media post? They have something very beneficial to talk. Their ideas and thoughts matches your ideas and thoughts, and you will have a wonderful time with them. Next point is they do not shun in reforming each other's mistakes or bad habits, but do this with politeness and humility. Instead of pointing fingers, they do it in a such a way that friends get the message too and they don't feel bad. Next point is they do not waste each other's time in vain, useless talks and activities. So this is also very important. And the next point is they never encourage each other to do wrong and invite to a place of gathering of a sin. And they don't do that either themselves. When they invite, and you should have a very good friendship with a friend. If, for example, you hear that they're planning a graduation party, for example. So you can, if you are a good friend, if she's a good friend of you, you should be able to say, you know what, why don't you arrange a party in such a way that we can, us women can have fun and we can sit separately, segregation. Because what we learn in Sotul Noor is about segregation. So if we keep on continuing the parties where the, everybody's in a mixed gathering, how do you think we're going to bring the Quran in our life? So inshallah, with the friends, slowly but surely, take one step at a time. Never be overwhelmed. And if you find good friends, you will have a time of your life, inshallah. The next point is they stand firm on each other's side when needed, meaning when you are in trouble, they are with you, beside you. You know, if you look at the friends, for example, if you look at your Facebook friends, you may have 200, 300, 400 people in your friends list, right? How many friends from those lists are really, truly genuine friends of yours? How many of them you can really rely upon when you are going through some hard time? For example, you are stuck in a road highway and you have no thing and you need a car tire change or something and you need help. Who do you call? Who are you going to call? The closest friend, the one you know that she's going to come and help you out, right? So similarly, on a day of judgment, who we are going to call? We can't call anybody there. So here we can call the friends who can really be with us to teach us and to take us to the right path. Now, the question comes in mind, there are two types of friends, the one who are take you to the good path and the one who take you to the bad path. The one who take you to the good path, you should seek their company. But the one who are not taking you to the good path, should you leave them? No, you should try to take them along with you slowly but surely. Let's make the ad one more time. Allahumma yassirli jalisan salihan. Let's go to the next slide now. Here we learn about the just 19 main goals, main points that we will discuss. In Surah Furqan, we will learn about comparison. As the name itself is telling you, Al-Furqan. Furqan is basically tells you right from wrong, and it gives you comparison, love and hate, kufr and iman, and effects of friends, of good friends and bad. And also we will learn here how people have hold on to the Quran and yet they have left it. The ayah is so beautiful. Inshallah, once we get there, we'll discuss that. And then we will also learn about in-laws. Can you imagine? Quran also tells use the word of in-laws in our Quran. This book is truly amazing. The more you dig in, the more you love it, inshallah. And then we will learn about Ibadur Rahman, who are the true slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All slaves are Allah's, right? But these slaves have some special qualities, inshallah. And then Surah Shura and Surah Namal will come, and we will learn about, what about poets? Is poetry halal in Islam or not? You'll get the answer today. And does animal hear humans or not? You'll get to know today that as well. And how having wealth and status can be beneficial. Should we get money in our lives or not? And qualities of a good leader and how gratefulness affects our life. These are the main points that we will learn along with many others, inshallah. Now, let's go to today's just first ayah, which is ayah number 21. And in that paragraph, this paragraph is really, really amazing and full of lessons. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give barakah in our time and we are able to learn a lot from this. Say auzubillah right now and say the du'as of seeking knowledge if you haven't done so. Ayah number 21. وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا لَوْلَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا لَقَدْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَتُوْتُوًا كَبِيرًا. And those who do not expect the meeting with us say, why were not angels sent down to us, or why do we not see our Lord? That they have certainly become arrogant within themselves and become insolent with great insolence. What do we learn from this ayah? Arrogance is the thing that keeps people away. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ, the day they see the angels, no good tidings will there be that day for the criminals, and the angels will say, prevented and inaccessible. What kind of angels will come that time? They will be the angels of death, and by that its time will be gone and it will be too late. وَقَدِمْنَا إِلَىٰ مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we will approach, that is, regard what they have done of deeds and make them as dust dispersed. This Haba Amansura thing, try to imagine the people of without any iman, they will be dispersed, they will have no value, and they will be dispersed like a dust. Have you ever experienced dust storm, or maybe seen it in TV or something? This is how, going everywhere, no weight to them, no matter what they did in this dunya, they will not be counted at all. May Allah save us. Ayah number 24. أصحاب الجنة يومئذ خير مستقر وأحسن مقيلا. And companions of the paradise that day are in a better settlement and better resting place. May Allah make us among those. Say Ameen. And mention the day when the heaven will be split open with clouds and the angels will send down in successive descent. Can you imagine? The heaven that we see, the sky right now, it will be opened up and the angels will descend in a succession, meaning there will be so many angels. True sovereignty. Try to feel the oneness of Allah right here. The day is for the most merciful. Only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that day will be. And it will be upon the disbelievers a difficult day. May Allah save us from that. And the day the wrongdoers will bite on his hands. Can you imagine? Biting out of regrets, he will say, oh, I wish I had taken with the messenger away. And, oh, woe to you, woe to me. I wish I had not taken that one as a friend. Ya waylata, laytani, lamattakhidh fulanan kathir, fulanan khalila. Meaning, he will say that I would not have taken somebody, such and such name, as a friend. What do we learn here? This is the regret I was talking about. People will say, it is my friend who made me go astray. It is my friend who made me lose. And it is my friend who turned me away. And he will say, oh, woe to me. I want you to take a 5 seconds pause here and say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved me from this regret. And I want to really be cautious about my friends, and not just for myself. I want to be cautious about my husband's friends, and I want to be cautious about my family's friends, and I want to be cautious. I want to make my kids cautious about their friends, because they don't know. They are very innocent. Our kids are very innocent. Whatever environment we put in, and that's what they're going to get. So it is our job to let them know how important it is to have good friendship. Because people slip in the same direction where their friends are going. So really, truly, this is the moment we can really think about what kind of friends do I want in my life. Because if we don't really pay attention to this, the time will be gone. And then, he led me away from the remembrance. He led me away from the remembrance after it had come to me. Notice here. People may be believer, people may be remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but after it had come to me, and ever is shaitan to man a deserter, meaning he was in a right path, then he derailed. He was taking Quran classes, and he was coming to Quran, and he was enjoying it, but there's a junction came, and he met his long-lost friend, and he said, what are you doing? She's going to say, oh, I am working at this company, such and such, and you're going to feel bad that, you know what, she's gone so far ahead, and she's going to ask you, what are you doing? And you're going to say, oh, I'm taking Quran class, and she's going to say, what? Why are you wasting your life? Come on, build your career. Go, I'll find you this job. In fact, I can recommend you in my company. You can work there and you're going to get enticed and you will go away. And this is the regress. This is just one example. There's so many examples in our daily life that comes like that. So what do we learn here? It is extremely important to pay attention to the friends we have. And the messenger has said, "Oh my Lord, indeed my people have taken this Quran as a thing abandoned." Ayah number 30 is extremely important. You know what we learn in this ayah? وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah that, "Oh my Lord, indeed my people have taken this Quran." Notice here, the word here is that ittakhadhu, meaning they have hold on to the Quran, they have taken the Quran, but the next word is mahjura, and they have left it. How is it possible that you can take Quran and then you leave it too? You know how? When people take this Quran for not the purpose of the learning, that means they have taken the Quran, they have it in the Quran in their hands, but they don't use it. Isn't this the majority of the Muslim Ummah doing? They recite Quran probably every day, right? They probably have this recitation of Surah Al-Mulk every night. Maybe they start with their day with the Surah Yasin every morning. Maybe they have Surah Kahf every Jummah in their life. Maybe they recite one page or 10 pages every day, but they don't get any lessons from it. This is what Quran leaving and taking at the same time. Meaning, they use Quran for other than what the main reason of Quran is. The purpose of the Quran is to seek guidance, and that's the only thing they don't do. Yes, but they do respect Quran a lot. They hold on to Quran a lot. They actually kiss Quran and have so much respect that they put it up in high shelves. And they have such respect for the Quran that they use it for the oath purposes. And they have such respect for the Quran that they use it and they make their daughters go underneath it when they're getting married so they can have barakah in their life. And they have such respect of Quran that they start a wedding ceremony with a Quran recitation, and then as soon as the Quran recitation finishes, they start dancing and singing. But they have such respect of Quran that they bring it when somebody dies. And they have such respect of Quran that they make the child start reading the Quran with the celebration of the party. And when they close it forever. And then when it comes to living the life with the Quran, where is the Quran in the life of people? If I tell you, go out and observe people around your community, how many people do you find in your acquaintances and your family and your community that they're living, trying to live by the Quran? Right? So this is what leaving the Quran and holding the Quran at the same time. May Allah truly make us understand the meaning of this ayah, because this ayah tells us the relationship the people, the Ummah have with the Quran. Today, you see, people are so highly educated. They have all kinds of degrees. They may be doctors, engineers, PhDs, lawyers, and whatnot. After learning 10, 20, 30, 40 years of educational system, are they still illiterate when it comes to Quran? They don't have Quran in their life. Isn't that sad? And isn't that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah? Today, you and I really need to step up and take care of this problem. Whatever we can do on our behalf, on our hand, whatever is possible, at least make dua that, you know what? All the Muslim Ummah, this Quran should be mandatory. This Quran should be taught in high standard universities. You know, in the University of Law School here in US, there is an ayah written of the Quran about the justice, but it's outside the building. If they can write this ayah outside of the building about the Quran, the code, the verse is quoted there, don't you think that this Quran should come inside the building too? And when we have this vision, each one of us sitting in this room right now, let's have a vision. We want this Quran to be taught in every school, every university, every college, every household. There should be a restriction. Unless you learn Quran, you cannot even get married. I mean, this is not something written anywhere. It's just I am saying that. You know why? Because we have taken this Quran as a book of barakah. It will give barakah in our life as a book of shifa. It will bring shifa in our life as a book of happiness. It makes us feel good that, yes, we have Quran in our life. There was this person, she said, you know what, when my daughter was getting married, so I want to buy first thing the for her wedding shopping. I don't want to start the wedding shopping until I buy a beautiful Quran and a cover for it. Meaning, this is how much respect they we think that people do and people have, alhamdulillah. But we need to move far beyond that. We need to bring this Quran open in our family rooms, in our dining tables, in our kitchen countertop, and it should be there, accessible, easy accessible, every moment of our life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us understand this ayah. And then we learn in the next ayah. And thus we have made for every prophet an enemy from among the criminals, but sufficient is your Lord as a guide and a helper. And those who believe say, why was the Quran not revealed to him all at once? Thus it is what it is that we may strengthen thereby your heart, and we have specified it distinctly. And they do not come to you with an example, that is argument, except that we bring you the truth and the best explanation, and the one who are gathered on their faces at to hell, those are the worst in position and farthest stray in their way. What did we learn from this paragraph? Regrets for making friends that takes us away from deen. May Allah save us all, and we need to bring this Quran in our daily life and hold on to it with a handhold that is strong. Not the way that people can hold a tissue paper. When the time comes in their life, they use it and wipe their nose and they discard it. And Quran, somehow it has taken that position in our life. There was a short video clip somebody uploaded, in that they showed that there was a phone sitting on a counter and there was a Quran sitting right next to it, and they both were sitting and the owner of these two were not there, and they're talking to each other. The Quran said, you know, my owner doesn't even take me any with him anymore. The cell phone said, yes, but he takes me. The Quran said, yes, but he has abandoned me. The cell phone said that he takes me because I give him the daily news. Quran said, I give him a news of Akhirah. The phone said, I keep him connected with the people. Quran said, I keep him connected with Allah. The phone said, I give him all kinds of information. Quran said, I give all kinds of information from the past, present and future. And more conversations like that was going on. And soon enough, the owner of these two things walks in. And the Quran says, oh, he might pick me up too. He comes and he picks up the cell phone and then he leaves. And the cell phone is gone and the Quran is still sitting there. And today, people have their cell phones, so much love for it, they cannot even breathe, as if their breathing system is cut off. They are suffocating if they leave their phone. Have you ever seen, especially kids nowadays, where's my phone? Mom, where's my phone? I just put it there. What happened to it? This is how we're attached to this phone, to get connected with this dunya. And the Quran that is connects us with the heart, with our hearts, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no time to open it. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make this Quran delight of our heart. We bring this in back in our lives, and that's where the rises of the ummah will happen. That's where the nations of Islam, inshallah, will rise. And really, this will happen. The deen will establish. We just have to do our part. And you know what? Angel of death will come and we will not be able to do anything then. And a person is on the deen of his friends. Let's go to the next paragraph. Ayah number 35 to 44. Self-worshipping. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَجَعَلْنَا مَعَهُ أَخَاهُ هَارُونَ وَزِيرًا. And we had certainly given Musa the scripture and appointed with him his brother Harun as an assistant. And we said, go both of you to the people who have denied our signs. Then we destroyed them with complete destruction. And the people of Nuh, when they denied the messenger, we drowned them. And we made them for mankind a sign. And we have prepared for the wrongdoers a painful punishment. why these things happened to them, because they left the message of Islam. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned them. And we destroyed Ad and Thamud and the companions of the well and many generations between them. And for each, we presented examples as warnings. And each we destroyed with total destruction. Ayah number 39, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, we presented them with these examples. Now, the question you and I have, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us examples or not? Are we being the student here and learning all these examples or not? If we are, then what is my relationship with these examples and with this Quran and what I'm trying to do with this book? And they have already come upon the town, which was showered with the rain of evil, that is stone. So have they not seen it? But they are not expecting resurrection. Which nation was that? This was the nation of Lut alayhi salam. There was a stone rain happened to them because of their homosexuality issue. Today we see also this is very common, and we have no idea how severe the punishment of that thing is. And when they see, O Prophet, then they take you not except in ridicule, saying, is this the one whom Allah has sent as a messenger? Think about it. People making fun of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is like this, you know, when you and I go, and for example, you go to your friend, what you have just learned, and you say, you know what, let's go and go do this Quran class. And she's going to say, what's wrong with you? Are you a madman? Are you going crazy? I'm not going to do that. I have a career to meet. I have a things to happen. I have a standard to raise. I have to help my husband out in my business. I don't have time for this thing. Think about it, and people are going to tell you all these things and call you all the names. And you know what? Rest assured, all these names are called to Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So what are you doing? Meaning, don't feel bad. You're not the first one you're going to hear this thing. If you're truly thinking of moving forward with Quran, then it is possible that people may call you. It is possible that your own family may call upon you. So, and he almost would have misled us from our gods had we not been steadfast in worship of them. But they are going to know when they see the punishment who is farthest stray in his way. And have you seen the one who takes as his god his own desire? Ayah number 43 is self-worshipping. What if we learn this ayah? أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَاهُ أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونَ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. In this we learn, have you seen the one who takes as his God his own desire? Then would you be responsible for him? What do we learn in this ayah? What do you mean that you can take desires as your God? That's not what we think. That's not what our understanding is, but that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. You know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah? When people take desires, when they follow each and every desire that they have, this is like obeying their desires. And who do you obey? You obey God, right? So if you obey yourself, that means you are self-worshipping. And this is the greatest reason people are not able to come to Quran. Because people do not like to have any resistance, anything that can stop them from obeying their own desire. People have desires to live this dunya. People have desires to all do all kinds of stuff. And when they're told that, no, this is Allah you're supposed to be obeying, they don't like it. They turn away. They hate it. So what do we learn here? Obeying your desires means worshipping yourself. May Allah truly help us come out of this. Because if we want to do, observing that what makes people stay away from Quran, stay away from the book, what is it that people don't open the book? You know why? Because they know once they open the book, then they have to follow what Allah says. And then they have to give up on their own desire. People follow their desires not even knowing that this is what they're doing. Stuff like that happens when they're busy, when they're happy in their life and they're doing stuff. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, no, no. You're not supposed to be living your life this way. You're supposed to have this way. And then you say, you know what? This is why. This is why I didn't want to open the Quran, because now I cannot follow my desire. So let's make dua to tell us, Mantala, truly help us not to obey our desires, because it is our desires that are keeping us away from the book. This is the answer that you see, because thousands of people out there are having hard time coming to Quran because they have these desires to live this life free, to wear whatever they want, to eat whatever they want to visit wherever they want to have friends with whoever their heart desires. Today, majority of the people are really worshipping themselves. Today, especially when we live in the materialistic world, people are competing with the standard of living. They're raising their standard of living. And because of that, you see families working day and night, like crazily. Husband and wife, both are working parents, and kids are sitting at home and alone. And when they come back from school, no parents are there to greet them. They're all alone. And then we say, why are kids are going astray? Why are kids are doing this? Because we have provided them all the luxuries of life. But when it comes to do tarbiyah, this is not there. Do you know why? Because parents are busy. Obviously, when a parent, both of the parents come home tired, do you think they'll have time to talk to their kids nicely and give them 2 hours of reading time, 1 hour of homework time? They're not going to be doing that. They're not going to have time for tarbiyah. They're going to say, I'm too tired. I have to prepare for tomorrow. I have to cook and clean and pack lunches. And I don't have time for reading bedtime story, moral stories, teach them tarbiyah. So this is why people, you know, why working like slaves, and a lot of people, majority of the people, when they are going through this coronavirus lockdown, they were realizing that, you know what, I was busy all this time, and now we have so much free time. There's so many people are saying that, because on weekends, they have all the other activities, and these are all desires. I have a swimming class to go to, then I have to take them to athletic club, and then I have to take them to library, and then after that they have a friend's appointment, and then there's a party at night, and I have to plan for that too. And then, of course, in between, I have to stop by the mall to buy the gift for the party, and the next day begins, and the next day begins, and the next day begins. People are following the rut of the society, not really knowing who are they obeying. If you think about it, according to this ayah, if you just observe, sit back, relax, and think how people are living their life, the one thing common in them, and that is they are doing whatever their heart is desiring. If their heart is saying, go work, they're going to work. If their heart is saying, go meet this person, they're going to get up and take the key and not even think twice and they go. If their heart is saying, let's go shopping this weekend, they're going to just follow it, regardless if they have something else important going on. Like, for example, they have signed up for some person to take care of or cook for them. They're going to say, yeah, I'll do it later. Let me just do this. And people actually plan for it. You know what? Today, this weekend, I'm going to go to try out this new restaurant that opened up. And the next weekend, I'm going to try this shop down the street, the new coffee shop that opened up. And that's all the rut of the life they have. So really, truly make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to understand that following desires is what I want from my life, or following Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because following desire is like obeying desires. And obeying desire is like worshipping yourself. So, inshallah, this is what we learn from this ayah. And or do you think that the most of them here or reason, they are not except like livestock? Rather, they are even more stray in their way. What do we learn from this? Meaning, when people follow their desires only, they are like livestock. Because this is what animals do. They have no purpose in life, right? Besides just grazing the grass and give some milk. If they're cattle and if they're chicken, lay some eggs. That's all they have to do. They don't have to worry about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that people who follow their desire, they are like cattle, the livestock. That's all they do. Fulfill their bodily needs, have food, and their physical needs, meaning have inmates, relationship. Today, people have these two things as human. They have this desire to just mate with their partner and eat what they feel like eating. People have lives revolve around their eating schedule. eat this in the morning and then, no, I don't like this cereal. Let's go to the grocery store and buy a new cereal, even though you have six different varieties sitting at home. And you know where mothers play this role a lot, because they're the one who tells a four-year-old boy sitting on the dining table, son, what cereal do you want today? That means we are telling them, let's obey your desire, because this is the cereal you want. No, you don't want it. Okay, I'll get you a new cereal tomorrow. Providing luxury does not mean that you're providing them tarbiyah. So truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us understand this. In the next paragraph, ayah number 45 to 60, relationship with in-laws. What do we learn in here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, have you not considered your Lord, how he extends the shadow, and if he filled, he could have made it stationary. Then we made the sun for it an indication. Then we retract it and hold it with us for a brief grasp. And it is he who has made the night for you as clothing and sleep, a means for rest, and has made the day of resurrection. And it is he who sends the wind as good tidings before his mercy, that is rainfall, and we send down from the sky pure water, and the way that we may bring to life thereby a dead land, and gives it a drink, and to those we created of numerous livestock and men, and we have certainly distributed it among them that they might be reminded. But most of the people refuse accept disbelief. And if we had willed, we could have sent into every city a warner. So do not obey the disbelievers and strive against them with this meaning, this Quran. Notice this ayah. In this ayah number 52, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, فَلَا تُطِعُ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدُهُمْ بِهِ. This bihi is what this Quran, meaning you and I are told to strive with this Quran. We don't have to strive with the sword and everything, meaning bring this Quran in your life, bring this Quran in your family's life, bring this Quran in the people around you, and this is how you strive. And you know what, when the Quran comes in life, true striving happens, true jihad and kabira take place. Why this is called jihad and kabira? Because this ayah was revealed in Makkah, and there was no jihad, the battlefield jihad was going on. So which jihad Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about here? Jihad and kabira. How do you do the jihad and kabira? Jahidun bihi, with this Quran. And how? What does it mean? You know what? When Quran comes in life, it is jihad and kabira. Because now you have to fight with your soul, and you have to train your soul to do things against what your soul is deciding. Because now that you have learned that you don't have to obey the souls and obey the desires, and you instead obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the hardest thing to do, because we learn that fighting your soul is the most difficult thing a person can do. It is so much easier if I told you that you can just do one thing and then you can give up one thing. Doing one good thing is a lot easier than give up one thing. This is why we see people have made their good deeds into leaky buckets that we just learned yesterday. You know how? Because people do good and people destroy their good deeds by having the leaky buckets. And they don't really fight that what is right and stay with the right. And when people do good, people do salah, and then they go and they destroy their salah with watching something really bad. So today this is the culture we see in Muslim Ummah. They are doing both lives. They say, you know what? Openly they say it, that I want to live a life of balance. In this dunya, I want to do everything. And yet, of course, I'll please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too. I'll go to Hajj and Umrah too. Today you see thousands of people go to Hajj and Umrah, but when they come back, they are doing all kinds of stuff. And they have no change in their life, because they're not doing jihad and kabira with this Quran. They're not really bringing and taming their soul to do, not to do whatever is not supposed to be done. Today, it is much harder to leave one's sin rather than doing a lot of goods. So jihad and kabira for you and I is having intention to leave sins in from our life. Try to live a pious, pure life. Do you think if Prophet ﷺ or Sahaba were to come in this time, this is our iman, that this cannot happen, just for the understanding purpose, if they would come, do you think how many Muslims are living the lifestyle of Prophet ﷺ? Do you think how many Muslims are being striving to be pious like Sahaba? And we say that we are Muslims and we are praying Salah. After praying Salah, what do we do? And during Salah, what do we think about? that next business deal and the next errand. And this is how what Sahaba did. So the bottom line here is that we have to highlight this ayah for ourselves. And let's make dua that Allah SWT will help us do jihadan kabira with our souls, because it is the soul that drives us. Don't you think this constant nagging that it goes on in your brain, and this is called whispering constant. Even if you're thinking right now, if you're sitting right now, you're listening to me, right? I'm the one who's talking and you're the one who's listening. But while you're listening, do you think that your brain is constantly thinking you and telling you something, right? Whether it's good or bad, it regardless, but it's constantly talking to you, right? So this constant talking of your brain, you have to do jihad and kabira with that. And let's make the order as well, and make it really possible for us. This ayah number 52 is something that we really need to take it very seriously. You know why? Because we learned from many hadith that many, many places in this dunya will take you away from Jannah. And Jannah is surrounded by, there's a hadith of Rasulullah alayhi wasallam, 5985 in Bukhari, we learned, Man sarrahu an yabsatu lahu min rizqihi wa an yunsa lahu min athrihi fal yasil rahmahu. I heard the last messenger saying, whoever is pleased that he is granted more wealth and that he is leash of life to be prolonged, then he should keep good relationships and kinship ties. And this is how your kinship ties, if you keep it, if you keep relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you keep relationship with people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will increase you in your risk. And what also we learned here, that people have to really fight hard to with their soul to stay on the right path with this Quran. Ayah number 53, we learned in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and it is he who has released simultaneously the two seas, that is bodies of waters, one fresh and sweet and one salty and bitter, and he placed between them a barrier and prohibiting partition. And it is he who has created from water, that is semen, a human being, and made him a relative by lineage and marriage. This ayah number 54, the word sihra, you see, this is Allah SWT talking about in-laws. So in-laws are part of our family. Some people really turn away as soon as they get married. They have this mindset. When the girls go into the houses and they get married in the husband's houses, they have this mindset, you know what, in-laws are not mine. My parents, I don't have to serve them, and they're there to stop me, to bother me, to ridicule me, to stop me from having fun and stuff. This mindset has to go. You know why? Because Allah SWT says, Allah SWT expands your lineage through sihra and nasab. Two things are mentioned with nasab and sihir. So yes, blood relationship and sihir relationship, meaning in-laws relationship. So consider your in-laws as a blessing. Do you know why? Imagine if they wouldn't come and ask your hand from your parents to get married their son. Imagine if they didn't do that. There are a lot of girls are out there who may be unmarried, and they must be passing the age of getting married, maybe the late 20s. And when the early 30s begins, people start talking, oh, she's not married yet. Oh, and all these things. Bless them, because they are the one who came to your parents and asked your hands, and they are the one who gave you your husband to live happily. Cherish them, value them, love them, serve them. And this is how you're going to make yourself happy too. But they worship rather than Allah that which does not benefit them or harm them, and the disbelievers is ever against his Lord and assistance to Shaitan. And we have not sent you, O Prophet, except as a bringer of a good tidings and a warner. Say, I do not ask you or forward any payment, only that whoever might take to his Lord away and rely upon the ever-living who does not die, and exalted Allah with his praise, and sufficient is he to be within the sins of his servants, fully aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything about you and I from inside and out. He who created the heavens and the earth and what is between them in 6 days, and then established himself above the throne, the most merciful. So ask about him one well informed, that is Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And when it is said to them, prostrate to the most merciful, they say, and what is the most merciful? Should we prostrate to that which you order us? And if it increases them in aversion. What did we learn here? Get to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by observing nature. don't propagate your sins, hide your sins. And in-laws are gift of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From now on, you should be looking at them from a different perspective. Their mention is in Quran, my Quran, the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me, the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now on, value them and love them and serve them and do jihad bil Quran, because this is the jihad the akbar that needs to be done today. And desire stops us from coming to Quran. So, you know, we learned that how far is the Jannah? They said, oh, Jannah is only 2 steps away. They said, how? They said, if you put 1 step on your desire, the second step will be in Jannah. It is the desire that keeps us away from Jannah. Umar radiallahu anhu said, if my 1 foot is inside the Jannah, and I will be not considering myself that I have entered the Jannah until my both of the feet are inside the Jannah. So, and you know what? Jannah is surrounded by things that are heavy on nafs. We learn in a hadith, and the meaning of the hadith is that Jannah is surrounded by things that are heavy on nafs, and Jahannam is surrounded by desires. So what do we learn here? Going to Jahannam becomes easy because you don't have to work hard, because their desires take you there. It is like, think of yourself when you're actually going downhill. If you have like a somewhere uphill mountain to climb, or you're going for a hiking or something, what do? You have to make an effort, right? Jannah is up there. This is why it requires efforts to go up there. Jahannam is down there. And for going downhill, you do not need any hard work. It just goes automatically. You just slips right down. Have you ever seen those slides that you see in a playground for your kids when they slip down? Look at the slide. If you are standing on the top, and if you're sliding yourself, the child is sliding down, do you think that he has struggled to do? He doesn't. The way to Jahannam is desires, and you just slip into them. And the way to Jannah is against the desires that you have to struggle for, strive for, work hard for. This is why Jannah is extremely hard. In the next paragraph, we learn ayah number 61 to 77 about Ibadur Rahman. Who are Ibadur Rahman? These are the qualities. I want you to number them down. So inshallah, and let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all these qualities instill in our 5 to 6 feet body. You know why? Because this is the walking, talking Quran. When a person becomes Ibadur Rahman, a slave of Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them with so much love. Who are they? تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ فِي السَّمَاءِ بُرُوجٍ وَجَعَلَ فِيهَا سِرَاجًا وَقَمْرًا مُنِيرًا. Blessed is he who has placed in the sky great stars and placed therein a burning lamp and luminous moon. And it is he who has made the night and the day in succession for whoever desires to remember or desires gratitude. And the servants of the Most Merciful, wa ibadur Rahman, alladhina yamshuna alal ardi hauna. What do we learn here? And the servants that are most merciful are those who walk upon earth easily. Meaning, their walking style has humility in it. They don't show arrogance from their walking style. And when the ignorant address them harshly, they say word of peace. Meaning, no arguments. They don't argue a useless argument. They say salamun alaikum. The word of peace. They end the conversation. They don't try to prove their point. Today, sometimes our desires really make us prove our point. No. Don't prove your point. Just smile. Just say salamu alaikum and move on. And those who spend part of the night to their Lord prostrating and standing in prayer. What do we learn here? Sujjadam wa qiyama. They're the one who do the tahajjud prayer. You know why? Because that's where they feel the connection with their Lord. Because 5 daily prayers are for every average Muslim. And these Ibadur Rahman move up the ladder by praying the tahajjud, by talking to Allah at night when there is no disturbance in life. And those who say, our Lord, avert from us the punishment of hell. Indeed, its punishment. Its punishment is ever adhering. Meaning, they are scared of the punishment. They ask dua. They are fearful of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's why they ask. Even though they are humble people, they don't have any arrogance. They walk softly and gently. They don't do anything wrong. But still, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save them. And indeed, it is evil as settlement and residence. And they are those who, when they spend, do not do so not excessively or sparingly, but are ever in between. They justly moderate. What the personality comes in mind when you're listening to all these things? A personality that is loving, caring, humble, soft, gentle, balanced, not spending too much, extravagant expenses in their life, not too stingy, miserly, living really in a bad condition. So, I try to imagine a personality who is spending in a daily life in a balanced way. Meaning, when they buy food, not too expensive, not too cheap. When they go to a restaurant, they don't elaborate fancy stuff, so much so that they order extra food and it goes to waste. When they do their weddings, they don't really spend thousands of dollars in clothing only for one night. They spend moderately. If Allah has given them, they do spend. It's not like they don't have to, they have to live a simple life. No, this does not mean that. They spend not too little and not too much. Try to balance the life, and that is the hardest thing a person can do, balancing the life in a way that is supposed to be balanced. So what do we learn here? Ask to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us this balance in life, because when we have this balance in our life, our life will be very beautiful. And those who do not invoke with Allah another deity or kill the soul which Allah is forbidden to be killed except by right, and do not commit unlawful sexual intercourse, meaning they stay happy with their own halal spouses and they don't look around here and there, and whoever should do that will meet a penalty. Multiplied for him is the punishment on the day of resurrection, and he will abide therein humiliated, except for those who repent, believe, and do righteous work. For them, Allah will replace their evil deeds with good. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. And he who repents and does righteousness does indeed turn to Allah with accepted repentance. So beautiful. People can make mistakes. It's okay. Let's come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and then start fresh, inshallah. And during this journey, people will make mistakes again. It's okay. As soon as people make mistakes, they should try to come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is where the success lies. And they are those who do not testify to falsehood. And when they pass their near ill speech, they pass with dignity. They don't stay in that conversation, and they don't instigate that conversation, and they don't continue and support that conversation. They walk out of there. And those who, when reminded of the verses of their Lord, do not fall upon them deaf and blind. Meaning, when somebody reminds them to do something good, they take it. They don't feel bad. Who are you to tell me this? And I don't want any advice from you. Their eyes and our ears are open to learn more, to humble themselves more. And the more knowledge they get, the more humble they are. And those who say, "Our Lord, grant us from our wives and offsprings comfort to our eyes, and make us a leader that is example for the righteous." This ayah number 74 is a beautiful dua. What is this dua? We already probably know it. Rabbana, let's say it together. Rabbana, hablana, min azwajina, wa dhurriyatina, qurrata ayunin, wa ja'alna lil muttaqina imama. They say to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "O our Lord, grant us from among our wives and offsprings comfort to the eyes, coolness of the eyes." You know how, what's the coolness of eyes is when it comes to kids and their spouses? Meaning, they become, when you see them serving Allah, it cools your eyes. When you see them doing sujood, it cools your eyes. When you see them running to their volunteer activities, it cools your eyes. When you see them standing up for their right of being Muslim, it cools your eyes. When you see them fighting to get space and time in their high school to praise Allah, this is the coolness of eyes. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really truly make our offsprings and spouses coolness of our eyes. And then you say, وَجَعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ imama. What are you saying here? Meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make them the imam, the leaders of the muttaqeen. Imagine if you're asking this highest position for them. Do you know why we don't see this? Because people, when they say this dua, they don't know what they're saying. So let's make dua that we know, we understand, and we truly say it consciously. And then, and those will be awarded the chambers for what they patiently endured. Notice here, it requires patience to do all this, and they will be receiving therein with greetings and words of peace, tahiyyatan wa salama, and abiding eternally therein. Good is the settlement and residence. Say, what would my Lord care for you if not for your supplication? For you, disbelievers have denied. So, it, that is your denial, is going to be achieved. And next surah is Surah Shura. Let's listen to the recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم طاسيم ميم تلك آيات الكتاب المبين لعلك باخع نفسك ألا يكونوا مؤمنين إن نشأ ننزل عليهم من السماء آية فظلت أعناقهم لها خاضعين وما يأتيهم من ذكر من الرحمن محدث إلا كانوا عنه معرضين فقد كذبوا فسيأتيهم أنباء ما كانوا به يستهزئون
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله سورة شعراء طاسين تلك آيات الكتاب المبين In the first 10 ayahs, what we learned here is that our first 9 ayahs have desire for guidance of others. Qasimim, these are the verses of the clear book. Alhamdulillah, we all believe in that, right? Say Alhamdulillah right now. Perhaps, O Prophet, you would kill yourself with grief that they will not be believers. This is the mindset you and I need to have, because this was the mindset Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had. He had so much desire for others to come to Quran, to Islam, as if he was going to kill himself. And you know what? Unless we have this desire to bring others to Islam or Quran, we're not going to be able to work hard. We won't be able to become an illuminated light, and we won't be able to change our friends and move up a ladder. So if we will, we could have sent down to them from the sky a sign for which their neck would remain humbled. And no mention, that is revelation, comes to them anew from the most merciful, except that they that they turn away from it. For they have already denied, but there will come to them the news of that which they used to ridicule. Did they not look at the earth, how much we have produced therein from every noble kind? Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers. And indeed, your Lord, He is the exalted in might, the merciful. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ Are we feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is might and merciful? Are we feeling that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this book, which is perfect book? So what do we learn here? Have this mindset that I am a seed that will fertilize the land around me, the people around me. The iman that is coming in my heart, I will be the reason to give it to others. Feel the pain for others, especially all the good friends that you love in this dunya. You want to hang out with them. You want to spend time with them. And then they are not having this book. So feel for them. And the more we feel with sincerity, the more we make dua for our family and friends, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for them to come. You are sitting here because of maybe somebody's dua. It could be your parents' dua. It could be your friend's dua. Was there some notification you got from your friends? That's why you're here. To think about it. It is so important. If they can be the light for you, you can be the light for somebody else, right? And then we need to learn lesson from the nature. ayah number 10 to 33, we learn Musa alayhi salam in front of his enemy. And mention when your Lord called Musa saying, go to the wrongdoing people, the people of Pharaoh, will they not fear Allah? He said, my Lord, indeed, I fear that they will deny me. It is natural to feel that, right? And that my breast will tighten and my tongue will not be fluent. So send for Harun. What do we learn here? If we are having a hard time speaking up for the truth, then we should have a good friends with us who can assist us, and then we can make a team and then do it together, inshallah. And they have upon me a claim due to sin, so I fear that they will kill me. Allah said, no, go both of you with our signs. Indeed, we are with you listening. This ayah is amazing. Allah's mother is saying, inna ma'akum mustami'un. Inna ma'akum mustami'un. What do we learn here? When we work for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. He is listening you. He is watching you. He knows how fearful you are. He knows how hard you're finding, and He loves it when you still go ahead and try to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to do. Go to Pharaoh and say, we are the messengers of the Lord of the worlds, commanded to say, send with us the children of Israel. Musa alayhi salam was given two jobs. One was to take children of Israel out of the captivity, and the other one was to spread Torah and teach Torah. That came later, but first job was to free the Bani Israel from the captivity of Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, did we not raise you among us as a child, and you remain among us for years of your life? Look at how smart Pharaoh is. He's trying to make Musa feel bad. You grew up in our palace, and you're the one who's speaking up against us. And then you did your deed, which you did, and you were of the ungrateful. He's trying to make him feel really bad that you're so ungrateful and this and that. Musa alayhi salam said, I did it. Then while I was of those stray, meaning ignorant. This is the answer we need to give. When we have some changes after learning Quran, and when people notice that, and when people ask you all this, huh, look at you. You did all the fun, and now you're stopping us. Especially when you tell the young kids, you know what are mistakes I made it out of ignorance, and I didn't know that, and you should not do that. They say, but you did all the fun in your life, and now you're telling us not to do. And friends say the same thing. So what's the answer should we give? Write down this ayah number, reference number, that, yes, admit it. Yes, I did it. But I was ignorant at the time. I had no information. Instead of denying, no, I didn't do it, or hide, no, it was this and that. Don't make excuses. Just be upfront. Say, yes, I did it, but I was unaware at the time. So, I fled from you when I feared you. Then my Lord granted me judgment, that is wisdom and prophethood, and appointed me as one of the messengers. And in this a favor of which you remind me that you have enslaved the children of Israel, said Pharaoh. And what is the Lord of the world? Musa said, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, and that between them, if you should be convinced. Pharaoh said, to those around him, do you not hear? Musa said, your Lord and the Lord of your first forefathers. Pharaoh said, indeed, your messenger who has been sent to you is mad. Can you imagine? It's been saying on his face, Musa alayhi salam, that you're mad. Imagine if somebody tells you, when you come to Quran, and when you bring some changes in your life, and when you sell your house because of the mortgage and stuff, and then your friends are telling you you're mad. Musa said, Lord of the east and the west, and that in between them, if you were to reason. Pharaoh said, if you take a god other than me, I will surely place you among those imprisoned. Musa said, even if I brought you something evident. Look how confident Musa is. You know why? Because Iman gives you confidence, and you can, even though Musa had no army to back up, and he was willingly able to speak up in the front of the tyrant like that. And you know why he was doing that? Why he had this confidence? Because he grew up with them, and he knew the culture of there. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans. Musa alayhi salam, in the very childhood, he was taken away from his mother, and he was raised in this palace. Why? So he can be confident. Because if he were to raise in a small home, he would not have this much confidence. Pharaoh said, then bring it if you should be the truthful. So Musa threw his staff, and certainly it was serpent manifest. And he drew out his hand. Thereupon it was a white, or white for the observers. Show the right path. When we, you and I talk to people about Quran, show them the goodness of the Quran, the light of the Quran, the contentment that you feel from the Quran. And this is what Musa alayhi salam did. And Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sorry, Pharaoh said to the eminent ones around him, indeed, this is the learned magician. He wants to drive you out of your land by his magic. So what you advise? You know, this is what the mindset of people works. They think that you're attacking them. Was Musa attacking them? No. Musa was just saying what is the truth, but they felt the fear, apprehension. And this is what we see in this dunya. When we tell somebody to come to Quran, they feel apprehensive. And so what do we learn from this paragraph? Allah takes care of the fear of a believer. Admit and move on. Admit your mistake and move on. And confidence comes with Iman. And Da'i will be called names. People will call them. People will make all kinds of fun of them. But this is what it takes to come in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From ayah number 34 to 51, we learn that true Iman changes the heart. How it works? Let's see. Pharaoh said to the eminent ones around him, indeed, this is a learned magician. He wants to drive you out of your land by his magic. So, what you advise? They said, postpone the matter of him and his brother and send among the city's gatherers, who will bring you every learned skilled magician. So the magicians were assembled for the appointment of a well-known day. And it was said to the people, will you congregate? That we might follow the magicians if they are the predominant. And when the magicians arrived, and they said to Pharaoh, is there indeed for us a reward if we are to be predominant? Look at the greediness of the magicians. And he said, yes, and indeed you will then be of those near me, meaning he offered them the status too, besides the money. Musa said to them, throw whatever you will throw. So they threw their ropes and their staffs and said, by the might of the Pharaoh, indeed, it is we who are predominant. Then Musa threw his staff, and at once it devoured what they falsified. So the magicians fell down in prostration. Why? فَأُلْقِيَ السَّحْرَةُ سَاجِدِينَ. Why did they fall down to prostration? Because they opened up their heart and they saw the truth and they accepted it. And Pharaoh at the same time watching the same show, and he was not able to, out of arrogance. So they said, we have believed in the Lord of the worlds. قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Do we say that too? قَالُوا آمَنَّا بِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. The Lord of the Musa and Harun. Pharaoh said, you believed him, that is Musa, before I gave you permission. Indeed, he is your leader. He is your leader who has taught you magic, but you are going to know. I will surely cut off your hands and your feet on opposite sides, and I will surely crucify you all. They said, no harm. Indeed, to our Lord we will return. When the yaqeen of the akhirah comes, then the hardship of the dunya becomes easy. People don't mind going through the hardship because they have a bigger picture to look at, and that is akhirah. Indeed, we aspire that our Lord will forgive us our sins because we were the first of the believers. Awwalal mu'minin. What do we learn here? We learn here that haq eats up the falsehood. And Iman comes and fear goes away. When Iman enters the heart, fear goes away. It runs away. And then threats doesn't scare a believer. They are able to take all kinds of abuse. Why? Because their Iman gives them this strength. And forgive others and be confident. In the next paragraph from ayah number 52 to 68, we learn from throne to ground. 52. And we inspired to Musa, travel by night with my servants. Indeed, you will be pursued. Then Pharaoh sent among those cities gatherers and said, indeed, those are but a small band. And indeed, they are enraging us. And indeed, we are cautious society. So we remove them from gardens and springs and treasures and honorable stations. Thus, and we cause to inherit in the children of the children of Israel. So they pursued them at sunrise. And when the two companies saw one another, the companions of the Musa said, indeed, we are to be overtaken. Musa said, no, indeed, with me is my Lord. He will guide me. I want you to highlight this ayah number 62. قَالَ كَلَّ إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ Musa said, no, indeed, with me is my Lord and he will guide me. Now, I want you to imagine this situation. Those people, those fugitives, the Bani Israel, ran away in the middle of the night and they knew that the army of the Pharaoh will look after them and they will come after them. Imagine these people, and this didn't happen overnight. There was a planning that went through. First, these people tried to settle near the bay, near the ocean, so it will be quicker to when they had there was a time to escape from their town, it will be easier. When this all happened, when they ran away, when they followed Musa alayhi salam, and they ended up in the ocean. And now, people, Bani Israel, what are they saying? They are saying, you know what, look, now we have listened to Musa alayhi salam again. Now he has put us in this dilemma. Now we have no place to go. Look at the iman level they had. And Musa alayhi salam's iman level, on the other hand, he is saying, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayadeen. No, indeed, with me is my Lord. You know what we should know from this? We should know when we get into this situation, when we think this is the end of the world, everything is falling apart, the house roof is going on top of my head, and my kids are suffering, and I am suffering from this problem and that, and all of the things, my life is fall apart, there's nothing there, what should I do? There's no escape, there's no exit, and I'm trapped in my problems. Today, maybe some people are feeling this way when they have no financial job, and they're going to financial difficulty this time, and maybe they're going through physical difficulty too, and maybe suffering from some kind of an illness too, and maybe they've lost the loved one too, and the problems, it seems like they're coming from all around them. And at this time, what they're feeling down at this moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayadeen. Because imagine, those people, in front of them was ocean, and behind them was Pharaoh's army. They were being sandwiched between the two. If they go inside the ocean, they'll drown. If they go back, they'll be killed. There are situations in our life there when people feel like that. At that moment, say, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayadeen. Inna ma'ya rabbi sayadeen. My Lord is with me and he will guide me and he will make the way out of me. And you know, there was a story of this girl. She is in, I think she's from India, and she was 16. Her feet, when she was 16, she fell from the train and her feet were crushed and she was not able to walk. Imagine a 16-year-old girl and her life was gone. And people, of course, you know, people say, oh, now she's a burden on her parents. And her father was a vegetable seller. They were very poor family. But she said, you know what? I'm going to prove these people that I am capable of doing everything and I'm not a burden on my parent. And I will prove them that I want to become a doctor. And there's a long story. She struggled because when she went to the medical school, even though she had good marks, but they wouldn't give her admission. Do you know why? Because they said they have this system that if you are 89% disabled physically, they cannot give you admission. She fought for it. She went to high court and she made the laws changes and she got the MBBS degree. And this was a painful process. She had to fight so many odds against her. Why? Because she was determined and she knew, Inna ma'ya rabbi sayahdeen, my Lord is with me and he's going to make the way out. She was a true picture of this ayah, really, truly. And it happens to be so that I learned this story just a couple of days ago. 9 days ago, so I can share it with you. And I was amazed at her patience, amazed at the level of patience and endurance and determination she had. And then she said, you know what, I'm not going to give up now. She proved the world, even though that now she has become a doctor, despite of all the odds, but she did not give up. And she said, you know what, I'm just going to go and get the doctorate degree too. And when she said that, even though she was a valedictorian, the first top three in our MBBS medical school, they still wouldn't give her admission in doctorate college. You know why? Because they say the same rule that we have 89% disabled person cannot get admission. And that's when she said, and there was only 2 days left for the admission. And she said, if I miss this deadline for admission, they will have an excuse and they will not give me the seat. And somebody, some person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, and he was powerful enough, and she and her fought. Within 2 days, the country's law was changed, and because of her fighting and determination and Allah being on her side, she said the law of the country was changed, and now they removed this clause of 89% disabled person cannot enter to the medical school. Now everybody who's disabled, they can get the admission, and law was changed, and she actually entered, and she graduated with flying colors. And today she's a very well-spoken person, and she gave the speech in this ceremony of some event. And she said, I'm not here to tell you and get sympathy what I went through. I am here to tell you, if Allah is on your side, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens up the doors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the exit. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes you go through it. All you have to do is just hold on to it. Do not give up, not for a single second lose hope, because this is against, never despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah can take you out. He can make you make the way out for you in the middle of an ocean, the ocean of problems you may be surrounded by, the thunderstorm that you may be going by. So alhamdulillah, so this ayah is really, really amazing ayah number 62. And then we inspired to Musa, strike with your staff the sea, and it parted, and each portion was like a great towering mountain. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps you, you know. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the way out of nowhere, and we advanced there too. To the others, that is the pursuers, and we saved Musa and those with him all together. Then we drowned the others. Look, only the believers were able to pass through, and the others were drowned. And indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers. And indeed, your Lord, He is the exalted in might and the merciful. What do we learn from this paragraph? Allah makes a way out from any situation. Rest assured. Know that Allah is with the believers always. When the things look impossible, even then, don't lose hope, don't lose confidence, and take a stand with sincerity. Make dua for everything that seems impossible, because there is nothing impossible in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the next paragraph from ayah number 69 to 104, we learn dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. This section has so many beautiful dua. And you know, I always wonder, how come there are so many du'as by Ibrahim alayhi salam? What is so special that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen Ibrahim alayhi salam? And up until the day of judgment, his name will be taken, and all the people have to follow the Hajj rituals with the Kaaba that he made. You know what's so special about him? Because he, from the very young age, was able to stay focused. He was not distracted. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his qualities of Hanifa so often. Because this dunya, as we all been learning, that it is very attractive, and shaitan entice, and people fall into the trap of shaitan. Ibrahim alayhi salam was given this hukum and this rushd, and this is why he had such beautiful collection of the du'as. Ayah number 69. And recite to them the news of Ibrahim. When he said to his father and his people, what do you worship? They said, we worship idols and remain to them devoted. And he said, do they hear you? When you supplicate, look at the boldness of Ibrahim alayhi salam. He's asking questions. Do they even hear you when you actually supplicate and make dua to them? Or do they benefit you? Or do they harm? They said, But we found our fathers doing that, meaning instead of giving answer, no, they didn't do that. They said, but you know, this is how people justify. But I see our family's tradition is that they're the one who are doing it. This is why we follow. And this is the excuse people gave then. And this is the excuse people give now, that this is my family. They believe in this such school, particular school of thought. So I'm not going to change. And that's it, period. People don't even come forward and try to even listen. And they said, but we found our fathers doing this. He said, that is, and then do you see what you have been worshipping, you and your ancient forefathers? Indeed, they are enemies to me, except the Lord of the worlds, who created me, and it is who guides me. Notice here, what is he saying? Who created me and who guides me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you and I, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide us too, inshallah, if we ask for guidance. Guidance is something that doesn't come by itself. Guidance is something that you have to ask for it. Once you ask, you'll be amazed how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you. So if we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us through this Quran and we want to come to this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make you stay. Or else, you know what's going to happen? The winds will come in your life. The life changes will appear and then you will be distracted in those things and you will move away from this. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us guided until the last breath. And it is He who feed me and gives me drink. How beautiful, right? He is mentioning all these qualities and blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. Do we mention? Can we mention all this? Why don't we say it too, right? Let's say it. وَالَّذِي هُوَ يُطْعِمُنِي وَيَسْقِينِ. It is He who feeds me and gives me drink. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. And when I am ill, it is He who cures me. Can we say that? وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينِ. When I am ill, He's the one who cures me. And وَالَّذِي يُمِيتُنِي ثُمَّ يُحْيِينِ. And who will cause me to die and then bring me to life. If we bring these ayahs, if we bring these ayahs in our daily life and we really say it, maybe write it down somewhere and we can say it. You know why? Because this will give us the oneness of Allah in our hand, in our heart. Because we think that I am the one who's earning, I'm the one who's eating this medicine, and I'm the one who's paying this insurance bill. This is why I'm getting cured. All these things come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who I aspire that He will forgive me my sin on the day of recompense. And He said, my Lord, grant me authority and join me with the righteous. Ayah number 83 and the next few ayahs are the beautiful dua. In these dua, Ibrahim alayhi salam is asking what? Ibrahim alayhi salam is saying, Rabbi habli hukman wa alhiqni bis salihin. Meaning, my Lord, grant me authority, hukman. Hikmah is a blessing of a great treasure. Hikmah is the understanding of doing the things in the right way, making right decisions, saying the right thing, the right way, the right time, the right manners, and the right wordings, and the right moments, and the right tone of voice, and the right word decision. Everything comes under this. And He's asking this. This is the dua. If you and I want hikmah in our life, we need to ask this dua. And then, وَأَلْحِقْنِي بِالصَّالِحِينَ. And join me with the righteous. See the importance of it? If you stay joined with the righteous people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you more hikmah. وَجَعَلْنِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And grant me a mention, that is reputation of honor among latter generation. You know when this is going to happen? When you do something good and then you leave the footprints of some goodness, and after you leave, people will remember you. Isn't that what happened to Ibrahim alayhi salam? He did so many goods that people are still following his footsteps. There's no Hajj or an Umrah completed if you don't pray behind the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam. You have to do 2 rak'ah, right? When you do finish your tawaf 7 rounds, what do? You're supposed to pray behind Ibrahim alayhi salam's footsteps. You know why? Because this is the dua that was answered. وَجَعَلْنِي لِسَانَ صِدْقٍ فِي الْآخِرِينَ. And وَجَعَلْنِي مِنْ وَرَسَةِ جَنَّةِ النَّعِيمِ. And place me among the inheritors of the gardens of the pleasure. May Allah accept all these du'as for us, for all of us. وَفِلِّ لِأَبِيهِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الظَّالِينَ. And forgive my father, indeed he has been of those stray. And do not disgrace me on the day there will be And they are all resurrected in the day when there will not be benefit anyone, well or children, but only who comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a sound heart. Illa man ata Allahu bi qalbin saleem. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and I qalbi saleem. Qalbi saleem means sound heart, meaning not the broken heart, not the heart that have all kinds of illnesses and sicknesses in it, not the heart that have grudges in it, not the heart that has resentments in it, the heart that is free of all kinds of filth of this dunya, the heart that is free of all kinds of desires of this dunya, the heart that is focused to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine if our heart become qalbi saleem, the life would be so different. It will be so much peaceful. It will be so much beautiful. This is hard to imagine. Once we have this qalbi saleem, we can all strive for it. We can all make dua for it, right? Let's make dua right now. Oh Allah, grant us qalbi saleem. And paradise will be brought near that day to the righteous. وَبُرِّزَتِ الْجَحِيمِ لِلْغَامِينَ. And hellfire will be brought forth for the deviators, and it will be said to them, where are those you used to worship? And other than Allah, can they help you or help themselves? So they will be overturned into that is fell, and that is hellfire, they and the deviators and the soldiers of Iblis all together. They will say while they dispute therein, by Allah, we were indeed in manifest error when we acquitted you with the Lord of the worlds, and no one misguided us except the criminals. So now we have no intercessors. And not a devout friend, a devoted friend. Notice here, wala sadiqin hamim. They will not have any friend in this dunya. You can have all kinds of friends, but the true friend is the one who helps you go towards the right path of Jannah. And then if we only had returned to the world, could be of the believers. Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be believers. And indeed, your Lord, He is the Exalted, the Might, the Merciful. What do we learn in this paragraph? Make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all these du'as of Ibrahim on our behalf. Ibrahim alayhi salam sacrificed his life first. Allah gave him ability to ask and make perfect du'as and beautiful du'as. We are responsible for ourselves, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives shifa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives qalbi saleem, sound heart we should strive for. Next paragraph, we learn ayah number 105 to 122. Nuh alayhi salam was steadfast. The people of the Nuh denied the messengers when their brother Nuh said to them, will you not fear Allah? Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger, so fear Allah and obey me. And I do not ask you for any payment. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds. So fear Allah and obey me. What do we learn here? That we must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and obey the messenger. Then they said, should we believe you while you were followed by the lowest class of people? He said, and what is my knowledge of what they used to do? Meaning, I don't know what they do. You should follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to do. Their account is only upon my Lord, if you could perceive. Meaning, it's up to them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should worry about yourself only. And I am not one to drive away the believers. Meaning, I'm not going to turn them away. If they're coming, it's for them. So, I am only a clear warner. I don't tell people not to come because you are poor. They said, if you do not desist, oh no, you will surely be of those who are stoned. He said, my Lord, indeed, my people have denied me. Then judge between me and them with decisive judgment, and save me and those with me of the believers. And so we saved him and those with him in the laden ship. And then we drowned thereafter the remaining ones. Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be the believers. And indeed, your Lord, He is the Exalted in Might, the Merciful. وَإِنَّ رَبَّكَ لَهُوَ الْعَزِيزُ الرَّحِيمُ. What did we learn in this paragraph? That believe in Allah, and reward is with Allah only, and only believers can be forgiven and saved in any situation. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us istiqamah, steadfastness, like Nuh alayhi salam. He kept on giving da'wah for so long. People did not have this long ages. Only Nuh alayhi salam was exception. You know why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was testing him and he was steadfast. Let's make du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us istiqamah. Ayah number 123 to 141. Landmarks means nothing. And deny the messengers when their brotherhood said to them, "Will you not fear Allah? Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger, so fear Allah and obey me, and I do not ask you for it any payment. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds. Do you construct on every elevation a sign, amusing yourself?" Notice here, ayah number 128. What is ayah number 128? أَتَبْنُونَ بِكُلِّ رِيْعٍ آيَةٌ تَعْبَثُونَ, meaning, are you constructing all these buildings and landmarks and thinking that this is the something that for your entertainment only and it will save you? Today, we see Muslim Ummah is also doing the same. They are competing each other with beautiful landmarks. And you know what? Today, they say the tallest building is being built in our Middle Eastern countries, Muslim countries. A lot of Muslims are so happy about that. You know, the tallest building of the world is going to be in an Islamic country. This is not something to be happy about, because this is what people take it as arrogant. It makes them even more arrogant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, creating all these landmarks, high, tall buildings, and you can boast about it. This is not what Iman is. This is not what Islam is. This is not what you're not supposed to be doing. So all these landmarks, you should not be feeling proud. Today we see even in Saudi Arabia, around the Kaaba, they're constructing such high, tall buildings, and people are buying landmarks, pictures, and they bring home as a souvenirs the clock tower picture and everything. And people have divert the focus from the Kaaba to these tall buildings. May Allah really truly make us understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ayah number 129. And take for yourself constructions, that is palaces and fortresses, that you might abide eternally. And when you strike as tyrants. So fear Allah and obey me. And provide you with grazing. And fear he who provide you with that which you know, provided you with grazing livestock and children and gardens and spring. All these blessings come from who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, I fear for you the punishment of the terrible day. They said, it is all the same to us whether you advise or not of the advisors. Notice here, a lot of people out of ignorance say that, I don't care about the advice. You keep your Islam to yourself. You keep your Quran to yourself. Allah, open up our hearts. This is not but the custom of the former people, and we are not to be punished. Then they denied him, so we destroyed them. Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be the believers. And indeed, your Lord is he who is the exalted and mighty and merciful. Thamud denied the messengers when their tribe Saleh said to them, "Will you not fear Allah? Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger. So fear and obey Allah." What are we learning in this paragraph? We learned here that do not construct tall buildings and landmarks to compete. They don't mean anything. Fear Allah and be the one who advise Allah. Allah has all the rewards with him. What am I leaving behind? This is the question we can ask from this paragraph. That am I leaving anything behind me that can really save me? Or what am I leaving the footprints of shaitan? And from ayah number 140 to 159, we learned that they asked for it, but were not able to handle it. Who? The people of Saleh. So, Thamud denied the messenger when their brother Saleh said to them, "Will you not fear Allah? Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger, so fear Allah and obey me. And I do not ask you for it any payment. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds." You know, people should work tirelessly for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should not expect any reward from this dunya, because this dunya cannot even give you reward. Imagine if one of your friends who invited you to this class, can you pay her back ever? You cannot. No matter how large the amount is, it's never equal. So never expect any appreciation from people. But in fact, we should make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep our hearts free of any kind of appreciation. And the criticism that comes in our way, we're easily able to take it. Because criticisms will come, appreciation will not come. And sometimes people start giving up. What kind of road is this? There is no appreciation. Don't expect appreciation because it's a sunnah of Prophet. You've been learning in every Prophet story. They're saying, we're not here and we're not getting anything from you. So, and will you be left in what is here, secure from death, within gardens and springs and fields of crops and palm trees with softened fruits, and you carve out of the mountains homes with skill? They also did that, Buyutan Farihin, nice beautiful home, and they would carve it from the mountains, meaning they were technologically advanced to do that, and they were feeling proud and safe that they will live there forever. Today also, people have this mindset, build one house and another house, and nothing is going to happen, as if they're going to live forever, even though every single day, and they see their faces on the bathroom mirror every morning, they find one new hair that is turning white, one new wrinkle that is appearing, and then they run to the drugstore and they buy this cream and that cream to hide that thing, and thinking, assuming that this wrinkles will disappear. This is just an illusion of shaitan. You cannot stop aging. The age will happen. The things will go old and we will disappear from this world one day. And the fields of the crops and the palm trees with softened fruits, and you will carve out of the mountains home with skill, so fear Allah and obey me, and do not obey the order of the transgressors, who cause corruption in the land and do not amend. They said, you are only of those affected by magic. When people don't want to follow, they come up with all kinds of names for people. You are but a man like ourselves, so bring a sign if you should be of truthful. You should never ask for the sign, because when the sign comes, they're not able to take it. He said, this is the she-camel for her in a time of a drink, and for you is a time of a drink. Each of a known day, one day was assigned to the she-camel because she was huge, and one day was assigned for the people. They didn't like this thing. And do not touch her with harm, lest you be seized by the punishment of a terrible day. But they hamstrung her, and so became regretful, and the punishment seized them. Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not Kripita believers. Meaning, they were the one who asked for the sign, and they were the one who were not able to it, and they were the one who killed it. It's like they're playing around with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine? People so stubborn, they're making excuses, now they're asking miracles. When the miracles is granted, they're playing around with that, and they actually kill that miracle that they asked for. May Allah save us from all this. And indeed, your Lord is He, the Exalted and Mighty and Merciful. What do we learn from this paragraph? Invite people continuously. Don't give up. Do not expect any monetary gains for anybody. And reform ourselves and obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in the next paragraph, we learn from ayah number 160 to 175. The people of the Lot denied the messengers when their brother Lot said to them, will you not fear Allah? Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger, so fear Allah and obey me. And I do not ask you for it any payment. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds. Do you approach males among the world and leave what your Lord has created for you as mates? But you are our people transgressing. They said, if you do not desist, O Lord, you will surely be of those evicted. He said, indeed, I am toward you and towards your deeds of those who detest it. My Lord, save me and my family from the consequences of what they do. And so we saved him and his family all, except an old woman among those who remained behind. Which woman was that? The wife of Lut alayhi salam, because she did not accept Islam. And then we destroyed the others, and we rained upon them a rain of stones, and evil was the rain of those who were warned. Indeed, in that is a sign, but most of them were not to be the believers. And indeed, your Lord, He is exalted, the Mighty, the Merciful. The companions here for up till here we learn association with any good person will not save us. Worry about your own deeds. Do your part to alert about the sickness of this disease of Lut alayhi salam's people, and prophets are caretaker of Allah's deen, so Allah make us the caretaker of our deen too. Ayah number 176 to 191, meeting. The companions of the ticket, that is the people of the Madian, denied the messenger when Shu'ayb said to them, "Will you not fear Allah? Indeed, I am to you a trustworthy messenger, so fear Allah and obey me, and I do not ask you for at any payment. My payment is only from the Lord of the worlds. Give full measures and do not be of those who causes loss, and wait with an even, that is honest balance, and do not deprive people of Dare to, and do not commit abuse on earth, spreading corruption, and fear He who created you and the former creation." They said, "You are the only of those affected by magic. You are but a man like ourselves, and indeed, we think you are among the liars. So, cause to fall upon us fragments of the sky if you should be of the truthful." Look how daredevil people become when they commit sin and they are indulged and they are obeying their own desires. He said, "My Lord is most knowing of what you do," and they denied him, and so the punishment of the day of the black cloud seized them. Indeed, it was the punishment of a terrible day. Indeed, in that assigned, but most of them were not to be the believers. Ayah number 192 to 227, we learn Allah gets his work done through anybody he wants. And indeed, this is Quran, is the revelation of the Lord of the worlds, the trustworthy spirit, that is Gabriel. Jibreel alayhi salam has brought it down upon your heart, O Prophet, that you may be of the warners, in a clear Arabic language. And indeed, it is mentioned in the scriptures of the former people, and it has and has it not been a sign of them that it is recognized by the scholars of the children of Israel? And even if we had revealed it to you, one among the foreigners, and he had recited it to them perfectly, they would still not have believers in it. Thus have we inserted it, that is disbelief, into the hearts of the criminals. They will not believe it until they see the painful punishment, and it will become to them suddenly while they perceive it not, and they will say, "May we be reprieved?" So far for our punishment are they impatient. Have you considered if we give them enjoyment for years, and then we came to them that which they were promised, they would not be availed by the enjoyment with which they were provided. And we did not destroy any city except that it had warners as a reminder, and never have we been unjust. And devils have not brought it, that is the revelation, down. It is not allowable for them, nor would they be able to. Indeed, they from its hearing are removed. So do not invoke with Allah another deity, and thus among the punished. And warn, O Prophet, your closest kindred. Ayah number 214 needs to be highlighted because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ordered to invite their closest kinship to Quran. Today it is our job too, so we can invite our family to Quran. And lower your wing, that is show kindness to those who follow you of the believers. And if they disobey you, then say, "Indeed, I am disassociated from what you are doing," and rely upon the Exalted in the Might and the Merciful, who see you when you arise and your movement among those who prostrate. Indeed, He is hearing and the knowing. Shall I inform you upon whom the devils descend? They descend upon every sinful liar. They pass on what is heard, and most of them are liars. And the poets, only the deviators follow them. And do you not see that in every valley they roam, and that they say what they do not do, except those poets who believe and do righteous deeds and remember Allah often and defend the Muslims after they were wronged? And those who have wronged are going to know to what kind of return they will be returned. In the last paragraphs, and we learned that the poetry is allowed, as long as the poet doesn't exaggerate and do fiction and say something that is impossible, and the poetry is in favor of Islam and is in coordination of Islam and Prophet and the messages of Islam, then it's perfectly okay. When the poetry is about fiction, like I'm going to break and bring this moon, I'm going to travel to the moon and back, and I love you that much, these are all fiction and that is not allowed. So poetry with a good word is a good thing. Poetry with a bad word is not a good thing. So if you have some poetry which is really bringing people's heart towards the Quran and Sunnah, that is great, inshallah. Now, one thing we learned here in the next slide is that who is best among us? We learned from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith. In the next slide, we see خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ عَلَّمَهُ, narrated by Uthman, that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best among you Muslims are those who are learned the Quran and teach it. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all these prophets that we have learned in the story, but they were doing what? They were doing only one job and bringing people to Islam. And today, if we understand this fact, then we become the one of the best of the people, because this is the job that is given to us. This is in Sahih Bukhari 5027. And now Surah An-Naml. Surah An-Naml is also a beautiful surah. Let's listen to the recitation of the first couple of ayahs only, and then we will move on to the Surah Naml. Naml means ant. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions such tiny creations of His. In the beginning, we learn about mosquito. Then we learn about honeybee. And there will be a mention about zubab. And here we learn about Naml. Why? Because all these are even those small creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they are miracles in itself. Let's listen to the recitation of first few ayahs.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم طاسين تلك آيات القرآن وكتاب مبين هدى وبشرى للمؤمنين الذين يقيمون الصلاة ويؤتون الزكاة وهم بالآخرة هم يوقنون إن الذين لا يؤمنون بالآخرة زينا لهم أعمالهم فهم يعمهون أولئك الذين لهم سوء العذاب وهم في الآخرة هم الأخسرون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سورة النمل. طاسين. تلك آيات القرآن وكتاب مبين. طاسين. These are the verses of the Quran, that is recitation, and a clear book as guidance and good tidings for the believers. Say Alhamdulillah. Who establish prayers and give zakah, and of the hereafter they are certain in faith. In this ayah number 1 to 14, we're going to learn about the best appointment. Indeed, for those who do not believe in the hereafter, we have made pleasing to them their deeds, so they wander blindly. Notice here, the people who do not believe in the hereafter, who do have this akhirah in the back of their mind, for them this dunya becomes very pleasing. Those are the ones who, for whom there will be the worst of the punishment, and in the hereafter they are the greatest losers. And indeed, O Prophet, you received the Quran from one wise and knowing. Question: do we believe that Quran came from the one who is wise and knowing, Hakim and Alim? Alhamdulillah. Mention, when Musa said to his family, indeed, I have received a fire, I will bring you from their information, or will bring you a burning torch that you may warm yourself. Notice here, Musa alayhi salam, as a man, being a man, he's taking care of the family. He didn't say, oh wife, why don't you go get the groceries and go find out something. No, it's a man's responsibility to provide for the family. But when he came to it, he was called, blessed is whoever is at the fire and whoever is around it, and exalted is Allah, Lord of the worlds. O Musa, indeed, it is I, Allah. Anallahu al-Aziz al-Hakim, the exalted in might and wise. And he was told, throw down your staff. But when he saw it writhing as if it were a snake, he turned in flight and did not return. Allah said, O Musa, Fear not, indeed, in my presence, the messengers do not fear. Alhamdulillah. And when Allah is on our side, then we should not be fear. Otherwise, he who wrongs, then substitute good after evil. Indeed, I am forgiving and merciful. And put your hand into the opening of your garment at the breast, and it will come out white without disease. These are among the 9 signs you will take to Pharaoh and his people. Indeed, they have been people defiantly disobedient. But when there came to them our visible signs, they said, this is obvious magic. And they rejected them, while their inner selves were convinced thereof, out of injustice and haughtiness. So, see, how was the end of the corruptors? What do we learn here? Iman is inside, actions are displayed in the inner iman. Musa alayhi salam takes care of his family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose people for his work, and their hearts agree, but arrogance stopped them. This is why they were not able to come and give zakah and prepare for akhirah and purify ourselves for this dunya, in this dunya. In ayah number 15-31, we learn that Queen of Sheba accepts it, but Fir'aun was not able to accept it, meaning no gender discrimination here. She being a female, she was able to see it. Fir'aun being a male, and he was so arrogant, he did not see it, even though they both were the queen and kings of their own nation, right? So, what do we learn here from ayah number 15? And we had certainly given to Dawud and Suleiman knowledge, and they said, praise is due to Allah, who has favored us over many of his believing servants. What do you notice here? You see in this ayah number 15 that they are grateful. What do we learn? When we are grateful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us more. And Suleiman inherited David. He said, O people, we have been taught the languages of the bird, and we have been given from all things. Indeed, this is evident bounty. And gathered for Suleiman were his soldiers of the jinn and men and birds, and they were marching in rows until when they came upon the valley of the ants. And ants said, O ants, enter your dwellings, that you not to be crushed by Suleiman and his soldiers, and while they perceive not. What do we hear? Ants heard Suleiman alayhi salam's army coming. What do we understand here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make anybody hear at any time. And what else we learn here is that Suleiman alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam were very grateful servants. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the wealth of this dunya and the wealth of the prophecy, meaning best of the both worlds. So it is possible for a believer to have a wealth of this world and the wealth of this akhirah as well. So Suleiman smiled, amused to her speech, and said, my Lord, enable me. This ayah number 19 is a beautiful dua highlighted. And then and then we should say it, because this dua teaches us to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all the blessings. In this dua, basically we learn the minute a blessing was bestowed upon him, and he heard the ant saying, he didn't feel proud. And that's the difference. Knowledge and wealth, when you take it humbly, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you more. In the case of Suleiman alayhi salam, he was humble, he was grateful, and he had knowledge, and he had prophecy, and yet he was very grateful servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And look at the wording of this dua. Rabbi awzini an ashkura ni'mataka allati an'amta alayya wa ala walidayya wa an a'mala salihan tardahu wa adkhilni bi rahmatika fi ibadika salihin. My Lord, enable me to be grateful for your favor. Say Ameen, which you have bestowed upon me and upon my parents, and to do righteous of which you approve, and admit me by your mercy into the ranks of the righteous servants. How beautiful of the wordings of this dua is. And he took attendance to the of the bird and said, why do I not see the hoopoe, or is he among the absent? This is the quality of a good leader. He keeps track of his army. I will surely punish him with a severe punishment or slaughter him unless he brings me clear authorization. But he, that is Hupu, said, not long, and said, I have encompassed in knowledge at which you have not encompassed, and I have come to you from Sheba with certain news. Indeed, I found there a woman ruling them, and she has been given all the things, and she has a great throne. I found her and her people prostrating to the sun instead of Allah, and Shaitan has made their deeds pleasing to them and averted them from his way, so they are not guided. Even notice here, even the bird is not able to see that shirk is the right thing to do. Today, us human close our eyes against this shirk. May Allah make us see the shirk that goes on around us. And so they do not prostrate to Allah, who brings forth what it is hidden within the heavens and the earth, and knows what you conceal and what you declare. Allah, there is no deity except Him, Lord of the great thrones. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa rabbul arshil azim. Suleiman said, we will see whether you were truthful or were of the liars. And take this letter of mine and deliver it to them. Then leave them and see what answer they will return. She said, O eminent ones, indeed to me has been delivered a noble letter. Now she received the letter, and what is she saying? She actually did not make the decision on her own. She's asking her people around her, what should we do about this letter? Indeed, it is from Suleiman, and indeed it is, and that is in that name of Allah, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And this is the ayah where the Bismillah comes in the middle of an ayah. This is why there are 114 surahs, and there are 114 times Bismillah comes. But we noticed that Surah Tawbah didn't have the Bismillah. The 1414 Bismillah comes in this middle of this ayah. In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the specially merciful. Be not haughty with me, but come to me in submission as Muslims. She said, O eminent ones, advise me in my affair. I would not decide a matter until you witness for me. They said, we are men of strength and of great military might, but the command is yours, so see what you will command. She said, indeed, kings, when they enter a city, they ruin it and render the honor of its people humble, and thus do they do. But indeed, I will send to them a gift and see with what reply the messengers will return. Meaning, she said, let me just send them some gift and test them what kind of king is he. So, when they came to Suleiman, he said, do you provide me with wealth? But what Allah has given me is better than what He has given you. Rather, it is you who rejoice in your gift. Meaning he did not accept the gift because he said, Allah has given me more things. Meaning he was a true leader, true prophet, and true person of Iman. Return to them, for we will surely come to them with soldiers, and they will be powerless to encounter, and we will surely expel them therefrom in humiliation, and they will be debased. Suleiman said, O assembly of jinn, which of you will bring me her throne before they come to me in submission? Suleiman asked his army because he wanted to prove this woman that we are the army of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A powerful one from among the jinn said, I will bring it to you before you rise from your palace and from your place, and indeed I am for this task strong and trustworthy. Said one who had knowledge from the scripture, I will bring it to you before your glances returns to you. And when Suleiman saw its place before him, he said, this is from the favor of my Lord to test me whether I will be grateful or ungrateful. What do we learn here? That whenever goodness has come to you, just recognize the goodness and be grateful about it. And whoever is grateful is gratitude. His gratitude is only to benefit himself. Here, this highlight is part of the ayah. If we are grateful to anything or anyone, that means that gratitude is going to come back to us. So be generous in admitting and be grateful to the things that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the blessings, all of them. Then indeed, my Lord is free of need and generous. He said, disguise for her throne. We will see whether she will be guided to truth or will be of those who is not guided. So when she arrived, it was said to her, is your throne like this? She said, it is, as though it was it. And you know why she recognized that was it, even though the changes were made? Because she was a woman. Women pay attention to these details, right? The color, the fashion, the design, and all those things. and we are given knowledge before her, and we have been Muslims in submission to Allah, and that which she was worshipping other than Allah had averted her from submission to him. Indeed, she was from a disbelieving people. She was told, enter a palace. But she saw it. She thought it was a body of water. Meaning all these things, Sulaiman alayhi salam's, in his rule, he had everything, and yet he was a grateful servant. What do we learn here? Sulaiman alayhi salam was given all the blessings, and yet he did not forget to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him so much thing. And I uncovered her shins to wade through. He said, indeed, it is a palace whose floor is made smooth with glass. She said, my Lord, indeed, I have wronged myself, and I submit with Sulaiman to Allah, Lord of the worlds. What did we learn? We learned that Sulaiman alayhi salam took immediate action. When he heard the news, he didn't wait. And whoever is grateful, it's for their own good. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani. He doesn't need us. He doesn't need our gratitude. We do. And free yourself from shirk, because she was living in a shirk and she found the truth now and she accepted it. And ayah number 45 to 55, Allah says, people of Iman. And we had certainly sent to Samud, their brother Saleh, and saying, worship Allah. And once they were two parties conflicting, he said, O my people, why are you impatient for evil before instead of good? Why do you not seek forgiveness of Allah that you may receive mercy? They said, we consider you a bad omen, you and those with you. He said, your omen, that is fate, is with Allah. Rather, you are people being tested. And there were in the city 9 families heading causing corruption in the land and not amending its affairs. They said, take a mutual oath by Allah that we will kill him by night and he and his family. Then we will say to his executor, we did not witness the destruction of his family, and indeed we are the truthful. And they planned a plan, and we planned a plan, while they perceived not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best of the planner. When people plan things to hurt somebody, rest assured that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a planner, and Allah's plans are always the best one. It may be temporarily appearing that the life is not going perfect in your way, the way you want to be, but you know what? Rest assured, this is the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When we cry, when we complain, you know what we're doing? We're saying, oh Allah, I'm not happy with your plan. I want things to go my way. And that's where the problem begins, because this is also called following your self-desire. This is what you want. Your life should not have any problem. Your life should not have any ups and downs. Your life should go smoothly. But this is not what Allah's plan is. So what we learn here is that Allah's plan is best plan. Just be patient, because patience is what takes you from here to Jannah straight, inshallah. And they look, how was the outcome of their plan that we destroyed them and their people all. So those are their houses, desolate because of the wrong that they had done. Indeed, in that is a sign for people who know. And we save those who believe and used to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Notice here, people of taqwa are always saved. May Allah make us among those who have taqwa. And mention Lut when he said to his people, do you commit immorality while you were seeing? Do you indeed approach men with desire instead of women? Rather, you are people behaving ignorantly. What do we learn here? We learn here that istighfar brings mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is what they did, right? And don't be impatient. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of it. Learn lessons from nations, and Allah is the best planner. Allah repeats stories so we may be reminded. This is for our own good that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares all these stories. Alhamdulillah. Here a beautiful juz, another juz ended with a beautiful note that be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because if we are not grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away the blessings. And Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam were given so many blessings of this dunya and the hereafter. This concept that people have that you have to be poor and live a very basic life when you come to Islam, it's wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has proved it with Sulaiman alayhi salam and Dawud alayhi salam. They were giving the kingship of this dunya. They were the leader, and yet they both were the prophets. So what did we learn here? As long as you use your blessings in the right way, blessings are blessings. When we use blessings in a wrong way, blessings becomes fitna. With that note, let's go to the dua. Let's repeat the dua again. Allahumma yassirli jalisan salihan. Question, do we want this friendship of pious people? If we do, then we should really want it. We should really look for it, inshallah. And if you see that last slide, in that you see the take-home message. And what is that? Give yourself some time to plan who you want to spend most of your time with. And what impact will it have in your future? Because unless we really are worried about our future, we're not going to be able to do much in our life. So with that note, inshallah, let's make dua. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept whatever we have learned, whatever mistakes I have made. It is from me, whatever goodness came, it is from the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kathira wa asli da Sister Faiza. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Whole juz was full of beautiful advices. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to take those advices and make it part of our lives, inshallah wa ta'ala. Yes, dear ones. Share one point that touches your heart, that touched throughout this whole session, inshallah wa ta'ala, and you will take it with you from this session, inshallah wa ta'ala. Effects of friendship. Allah is the best planner. Tabarakallah. Allahu Akbar. And if anybody wants to take mic, you're more than welcome. Inshallah wa ta'ala, I will unmute you. I understand sometimes writing takes longer. So if you just want to share anything. Pick good friends. Yes. See the virtues of picking good friends. And if you surround yourself with pious people, the after effects of that, subhanAllah, our iman becomes stronger. And actions are outside. Exactly. When people of iman, when they exercise iman, obviously it shows in their actions. It just can't be that they are not doing anything if they have iman, but they are not doing it. They are not exercising it. Islam is a religion of moderation, and we should not be extravagant of misery. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with things, we should use them. And if not, then alhamdulillah, thankful, to always be thankful. Be grateful. Be grateful for the blessing and what comes your way. If we were, we can get the best of both. Inshallah wa ta'ala, inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is enough for each, every connect people with Allah. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Use blessing in a correct way. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. See, so many lessons to learn. And it just, although, you know, like we are just reading the translation, but see, so much good come out of it. Subhanallah, subhanallah. We are learning so much. And if all these points, we take it upon our heart and brain, and then think, what will be our next step? And inshallah wa ta'ala, I'm 100% sure that the answer will be, yes, we have to learn this Quran in depth, inshallah wa ta'ala. Istighfar brings mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except your mistake and don't. My prayers to teach your youth about the importance of good friends. Yes, alhamdulillah. It's like, Hadith is the best amongst you is one of, who learns Quran and teaches it. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. See, this is, but we have to take the first step now. We have to learn it in depth, inshallah wa ta'ala, to be in that position when we teach someone. So first is learning. Alhamdulillah for the people around me, I'm so grateful. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Not give up when hardship become extreme. No, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that and will bring success. Inshallah wa ta'ala. With patience, inshallah wa ta'ala, we have sabr, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring the best. And there is always light at the end of the tunnel. When there's hardship, in our lives, but we have to focus on that light that's end of the tunnel, at the end of the tunnel, inshallah wa ta'ala. Aim to achieve the status of Badr Rahman. Inshallah. Alhamdulillah. See such beautiful examples and the qualities of Badr Rahman. Subhanallah. We should have about our own deeds. Inshallah wa ta'ala we will. And that's what the knowledge comes into practice, right? So we know how to safeguard our deeds. We should do according to Sunnah with ikhlas. Inshallah wa ta'ala the deeds will be accepted. Allahu Akbar. Allah always said, satisfy Allah's command of self-worshipping. See, we saw the outcome of self-worshipping or following your desires. You know, like it can be really, really disastrous. So we really have to harness our nafs, inshallah wa ta'ala. So we are not following our desires. Simplicity and the completeness of Ibrahim alayhi salam's du'a. Alhamdulillah. See, every juz has Ibrahim alayhi salam's zikr in it. So subhanallah, the sacrifices he made in his life, and look, in every juz he's been honored. Every juz he has been honored. Subhanallah. So it gives us some kind of lesson that we have to leave goodness behind us too. Leave the life spreading good. And inshallah wa ta'ala, when we leave this world, we will be addressed or remembered as the person who spreads good. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. A very, very beneficial session. Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to absorb everything and follow all the advices, inshallah wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, grant us hikmah to choose our friends wisely, so we do not regret at the day of judgment. Ya Allah, make us obey our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam precisely, so we are saved from your wrath. Ya Allah, save us from following our desires, but make us among those who follow the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, hide our sins in this dunya and in akhirah. Ya Allah, forgive us for our saghira and kabira sins we did knowingly or unknowingly. Ya Allah, grant us the qualities of your Badur Rahman and make us your 24/7 slave. Ya Allah, make us a fertilizer, make us a fertilized land so we are beneficial for others. Ya Allah, make us steadfast on tawheed with sincerity. Ya Allah, make us value the time given in this world. Ya Allah, if we slip, grant us the opportunity to always come back and repent if we slip. Ya Allah, make us among the grateful and thankful slaves, and make us among the people of Taqwa. Ameen, summa ameen. Allahumma yassir li jalisan saliha. Allahumma a'ini ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbul afwa. Fa'fu anna, fa'fu anna, fa'fu anna. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا وتب علينا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله تعالى على رسول خير خلقه محمد وآله وصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك. Take good care of yourself. May we are protected from any and every shar there is, and the shar of shaitan. If life and health permitted, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will meet again tomorrow with just 20th, inshallah wa ta'ala. جزاكم الله خيرا كثيرا بحسن الجزاء. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. اللهم لك الحمد.